God for another opportunity to be in his presence. We thank God for another opportunity to speak to his people. And truly there is a word from the Lord for such a time as this. Would you turn with me back again to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. When you found that, please stand as we get to your feet, as we give reverence to the word of God. Isaiah chapter 6. Very familiar passage of scripture. It is my prayer that the Lord will speak a brand new revelation to you on today. Isaiah chapter 6, we will read together verses 1 through 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. When you find it, please say amen. Let us hold our Bible high. Hold your finger there, hold our Bible high. Repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I have what it says I have. And today, I submit myself to God that he may prove his word in my life, in my life, in my life. Today, amen. Let us read together Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Let us read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a high throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Was of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thong, from off the altar. Let's read verse 7. And he laid it up on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched mine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is... Amen. You may be seated. Amen. May the Lord add a richful blessing to those who read and understand and do his word. Won't be before you long this morning just to give you a word from the Lord. Think with me shortly from this theme, the reason I serve. The reason I serve. Look at your neighbor and smile real nicely and ask him a very simple question. Neighbor, why do you serve the Lord? I need to borrow your minds for just a moment. Before I begin to preach this message, I need to give you a lesson in seraphims. Those of you that will allow me your imagination, I need you to take your fingers and put them together like this, so that all you would have is a peephole. so tight that I should be the only one you see. Make sure I'm the only one in view. You got me? Got me? You don't see anybody to the left? Nobody to the right? All right, put your hands down. When we read in verse 2 where it said, "With twain he covered his face," the seraphim's job was so important. They had to cover their face so they would not be distracted by anything that was going on around them. The only person in their eyesight was God. All right, how many of you seen our children wear those tennis shoes with lights? Okay, I want you to know Isaiah was sitting there. He saw the seraphim having only tunnel vision. But what he also saw was with twain their feet was covered. Every time one of the seraphim would put their foot down, a scripture would pop up. Everywhere they stepped in the word of the Lord. Every time they put a foot down, the word of the Lord would light up. And Isaiah is looking at this. Every seraphim had a different scripture, and every time that foot went down, a new scripture came up. He wasn't worried about stepping in mess. He was stepping in the word of the Lord. Hello? In Ephesians 6 and 15, it said their feet was prod with the preparation of the gospel. So wherever they stepped down, they stepped in the word. And then they had wings. Okay, how many of you know you can get more places easier by flying than you can walking? Hallelujah. So the seraphim had to cover everywhere that God was, and they couldn't do it by walking, but they had to fly. So when you have tunnel vision and you step in the word and you have wings to fly, you can get where God tells you to go in a matter of minutes. Amen. So I want you to know Isaiah was sitting here. Isaiah in the grief of King Uzziah dying. Isaiah was caught up in the middle of worship. Have you ever been caught up? Have you ever been caught up? Uh-huh. All right. You know, when we go to our concerts, we go looking good. But when the music get right, we forget we looking good. And we say, hey, ho. All right. Why? Because we've got caught up. So I want you to understand Isaiah got caught up in the middle of worship, in the middle of grief. Isaiah is sitting there. And the Lord transports him from where he is unto where God wants him to be. And Isaiah is sitting there, and all of these things are going on. Isaiah sees that the seraphims are not concerned about anything else except praising God. Isaiah can see that everywhere the seraphim steps down, there's the word of the Lord. And Isaiah, his heart is panting and his breath is getting so short. He's saying, God, why am I here? God, oh, I don't know what to do. God, help me, Lord. He is just so caught up in worship that Isaiah says, I don't want to be a spectator. I want him to participate in worship. I'm not happy sitting on the sideline. I want to get in and praise God just like them. I want to be a part of it. This is so good, God. Let me do something. Let me hold a door. Let me take up the offering. Let me move, God. I need to praise you. I need to worship you. God, I need to do something. Because Isaiah understands he is in an awesome connection, an awesome moment with the Lord. And he's not happy sitting on the sideline spectating what's going on. The subject again is the reason of why we serve. I want you to know Isaiah was in the middle of worship and he knew that he was unclean. He knew he was unfit, but his heart said, you need to get in on this. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you need to get in. You need to get on this, all right? In James 4 and 10, it said, humble yourself before the Lord and he will raise you up. Isaiah was there. He knew he needed a cleansing. He knew he was not like the seraphim. He knew he had some junk in his trunk. But his heart said, come on, Isaiah, you can get some of this. Have you ever been in a worship And the choir was sounding so good. You wish you were part of the choir. Huh? Have you ever been where a singer was going and you wish you could just take that mic and go on? Have you ever sat and watched praise in motion and you were like, God, I wish I could do that. I just wish I could do that. Why? Because you know they were speaking to your heart and your whole body wanted to jump in and jump out, but you were like, I can't do it. And Isaiah said, he's caught up with emotion. And Isaiah wants to be connected. Isaiah has never seen anything so magnificent, so glorious. And Isaiah is caught up and he's overwhelmed. That's why verse 8 says, and I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord. The 15-year-old boy that killed that policeman probably never had an Isaiah moment. Young people walking around, not sure of who they are, where they came from, probably never had an Isaiah moment. Some of us who take pleasure in coming in, sitting in the sanctuary, never waving our hand, never moving to the spirit, never yielding our voice, never had an Isaiah moment. But I came to tell you, if you know Jesus has ever fixed anything for you, when you walk in the door, you can't be happy sitting on the sideline. When you know the Lord has opened doors, he's moved some mountains, you can't help but say, God, let me do something. When you have a connection, look in here, Isaiah, he didn't think anything else about it. He wanted to take a part. And child of God, today, I want you to understand the connection, why we need to serve the Lord. We don't serve God because of what he has given us, but we serve God because what he has done for us. How many of you realize that when we were out in the world, slipping and tripping, dipping and sipping, God saved us. He covered us. He protected us. How many of us know that when we wouldn't call on it, we were big enough doing everything we wanted to do. Drove by the church, didn't even look God's way, but God put a hedge around us. He said, I'm keeping her. I'm keeping him for the last day. How many of you know it was God who saved us? It was God who kept us. It was God who covered us. It was God. We did nothing by ourselves, but we are who we are today because it was God. Isaiah sitting in worship. The Lord played the picture for me. Isaiah sitting there looking, everything flying all around him. And he's saying, God, if I just had a chance to do something for you, Lord, send me. Why do we serve? Why do we keep coming back and forth, Sunday after Sunday, week after week? Why do we keep coming? Because somebody here knows that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, in hell, we would lift up our eyes, because we know it was God who loved us before we loved ourselves. It was God. It was God. It was God. When we look again, I want you to pay attention and I want you to get this picture in your mind. I want you to get this picture. You know, because Kirk Franklin had this song, The Reason Why We Sing. I want you to know why we serve today. We serve because there was a God who looked beyond all of our faults and still supplied our needs. When we didn't even know what we needed, he supplied them. When we didn't even care what we needed, he supplied them. And not only did he give us what we needed, but he gave some of us more than enough. Because he is that kind of God. Amen? With Twain, I want you to get the picture of the seraphim. All they could see was God. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you had trouble on every hand, but in the midst of trials and tribulation, when you looked up, all you could could see was God. Have you ever been down so low that when you looked up, you didn't see the problem, you didn't see nobody, but there in the opening of your mind, God said, here am I. I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. I'm standing right here, been here all along, just waiting for you to look up and say, Father, have mercy. You can serve when you have that kind of connection. You don't need a church full when you've been connected. When you know it was God that raised you up in the deep dark of night, you don't need nobody but yourself. When you know it was God that answered your prayer, when you couldn't even pray, you can serve the Lord. When you know it was God who carried you from one place to another place, when you didn't know how you got there, it was God. You can praise Him. You can worship Him. You can magnify His name. If you ain't got no new clothes on, if you don't have no new shoes, it doesn't matter, because when your back was up against the wall, nobody wanted to call your name. You called on the Lord and He answered. That's why we serve. When you look at Isaiah, I want you to go back in your mind and just remember, when was the last time God wowed you? Has any of you ever been wowed by the Lord? Has He ever overwhelmed you at any time? Has He ever done a miracle for you that's still messing up your mind? Has He ever opened a door for you you didn't even think you could ever get through? See, Isaiah was hurting. His best friend, his uncle, Isaiah, had died. And he thought, God, what am I going to do now? And the Lord said, I'm going to take you where you never thought you could go. And the Lord put him in worship. Isn't it amazing? Out of all the places God could have taken him, He took him to worship. Out of all the things He could have done, He showed him worship. Why? Because when we love the Lord enough to give of ourselves, when we love the Lord enough to raise our hands, when we love the Lord enough to look up and don't worry about who's looking at us, then we are ready to serve Him. It doesn't matter who's sitting next to you. I came to praise Him. It doesn't matter what clothes I got on. I came to praise Him. It doesn't matter if I don't look good to you. I came to praise Him. It ain't when I got dressed this morning, I didn't have nobody in mind. I came to praise the Lord. Isaiah is sitting there, and he's got all these things going on. The Lord had me revisit that when I was looking at just a handful of people in the choir stand. I don't know how you feel about it, but sometimes some of you might get discouraged because you look at the pews and they might be empty. Let me tell you, baby, don't worry about them empty pews. You better be glad you're here. Don't worry about who else ain't here. You just need to be glad you are here. If God raised you up, He brought you up by yourself, didn't He? You wasn't worried about no pews. When God answered your prayer, was you worried about a pew? You better thank God. I thank God for me. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Can't worry about who else ain't here. I came to preach to one person. That's what worship is all about. It's not about making sure I look good. It's about making sure you see God. It's not about trying to get my point over. It's trying to get you to connect it to the Lord. That's what worship is. It's about letting you know the reason why we serve, the reason why we're here. We've got a reason to shout. We've got a reason to praise. We've got a reason to say hallelujah. We can say glory, because it isn't about us. It is not about us. It is not about us. It is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. So many times, the reason we lose so many people in church is because they connect to the wrong thing. They could get connected to each other. They get connected to the name of the church. The name of St. John won't help you. You better know Jesus. You better know it's not 427 Market. It's whatever the Lord says He wants you to be. That's what this is about. Isaiah got caught up. Somebody say caught up. Somebody say caught up. You can't get caught up until you separate yourself from who you think you are until who you're supposed to be. Hello? When we walk in here, God is not concerned about a title. He ain't concerned about how much money you make, what kind of car you drive. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have no car. You think God worried about how much money you got in the bank? You want to know what sophistication is? Sophistication is doing the right thing in the right place. And when you in the household of faith, you're supposed to lift your name, your hand, and say glory. You're supposed to wave your arm and say hallelujah. How is it we can look at the baseball Cardinals and we can look at the Rams, Seattle Seahawks, we can look at Kobe Bryant and we can look at everything else and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then we get to the church. How is it we can look at our children on the football field and the baseball field, run, man, get it, run, man, get it, but we get to the church. I ain't talking about nobody. But you know when we went to the wedding, when we went to the wedding reception, everybody step to the left and step to the right and kick and kick and kick. We get to the church. Tell your neighbor, she ain't talking about nobody. But when you get connected to who Jesus is, when you get connected to where he brought you from, when you get connected about who you are because of him, you say as Isaiah, God, I don't want to sit on the sideline no more. I'm not comfortable being a spectator. Let me get in here. Let me kick up my leg in the name of Jesus. Let me rock and roll in the name of Jesus. Let me tap dance in Jesus Christ. Let me go over here in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about. Too many times we make a bad impression. And when they see us on the outside, we're all like lively stones. But when we get in the household of faith, we forget why we serve. Child of God, I came to remind you today, we need to check how we got here. It is only because of God that we live, move, and have our being. In the book of Job, we see where Satan came up to him. Satan and the Lord was talking, and Satan said, yeah, does Job serve you for naught? He simply put it, God, you gave Job so many things. I bet if you would just let me take that stuff away from Job, he wouldn't serve you no more. And God said, okay, do it. Just don't kill his soul. How many of us today could praise God if we lost our car? How many of us could still praise God if we had to move from an apartment, from our house down to an apartment? How many of us would still praise God if when we went to the bank, all our money was gone? How many of us could just thank God because he saw fit to raise us up one more time? How many of us could just say, Lord, I thank you for the very breath I breathe. I thank you, God, for able to walk with my legs. I thank you, God, for eyes that I can see, legs I can walk, mouth I can talk. How many of you did? Would say, thank you, Lord. That's when you know you can serve. It's not about stuff. Let me tell you, baby, God will let you lose a lot of stuff just so you can see him. God will let you lose your wardrobe just so you can see him. Whatever you got that makes you think you all that, God can strip you so you can really see who God is. God knows how to make us serve him because he is God. He knows how to draw back the windows of heaven and say, I'll cut it out if you don't praise me for who I am. When Satan took everything from Job, Job's wife said, cuss God and die. Job turned around and said, you sound like a foolish woman. Don't you know when I woke up this morning, it was God that woke me up? Sure, I woke up in pain, but bless the Lord, I got up. Yes, I know all my kids are gone, but don't you know all of my children were a blessing from God, just like those left here. Here, give me some more. I still need to praise Him. Somebody say, let's get caught up. Turn to God, this is a test for us today. We need to get upset about how we serve our God. We need to get upset because when we just come in and take a seat on the pew, we want to be entertained. We want to be just, make me happy, make me this. Let me tell you, I'm a woman. I can't make you happy unless you're my husband. I can't make you shout. I can't make you get happy. But what I can do is tell you what thus said the Lord. And if you are connected, if you came here to serve God, all you need is a word from the Lord. I can tell you right now, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I can tell you right now, my soul makes her boast in the Lord. I tell you right now, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I can tell you right now, weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. I can tell you right now, I can tell you right now, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I can tell you right now, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. If you don't get happy on the word, ain't nothing else I got to give you. If you can't shout about what thus said the Lord, ain't nothing else I got to give you. I ain't got no angelic soap, no Holy Ghost lotion. He gave me his word, and that's all I got is his word. But I can tell you, his word will wipe away your weeping eyes. His word will heal a sin-sick soul. His word will raise up you when you're dead. His word will give ease to a troubled mind. His word! Think of the neighbor, say his word. Or say, y'all don't believe me, say his word. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. He will do all that for you. That's why we're serving. That's why we're serving. I came to tell you, if he don't ever do another thing for you, he's already done more than anybody you ever know could do for you. And it's all in his word. When we look at Isaiah, Isaiah got caught up in who he was not. And Isaiah said, Lord, I want to serve you, but I'm so dirty. I'm so nasty. And the Lord told one of the seraphim, go get one of those coals off of there. And I want you to cleanse my son because I think his heart is right. I can imagine Isaiah standing back looking and an angel come down and drop a tongue. And Isaiah just shook as he felt himself getting cleansed. He felt his heart getting strong. He felt his mind coming alert. He said, God, send me, I will go. Because Isaiah recognized he had sat on the sidelines long enough. It was time now for him to get in the game. I don't know about you. I had to mess with Brother Gary yesterday at the picnic. You know, he had that little football. He talking about, sit down, Pastor. I don't want to embarrass you. I had to let Brother Gary know. When I was in my 20s, I was out on the football field trying to get my brothers to join this football team. So I was just out throwing passes. Had all my football gear on. The manager came up, the coach of the team came up, and he said, you know what? I want to try you out as quarterback. Everybody started laughing. He said, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? So when I took my helmet off, he said, man, would you please get your little happy self over there somewhere sit down? I told him, see, I'm out on the football field doing what I'm doing. Because if I do anything, baby, it's good. So I was on the football, I was like, bam! 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 And he said, where you get that from? I the baby. Girlfriend knows some folks, all right? But guess what? I was out there doing what I do. Every day when the Lord touched me, I get up and do what I do. I'm not happy being a spectator. I'm not happy being a spectator. God has done too much for me to come down, cross my legs, and sit up like I'm all that. God has took me through some things that I couldn't go by myself. He has opened doors that I never saw. He's taken me over hills and mountains through the darkest days of my life. When I saw God move in my life, I said like Isaiah, Father, here am I, send me. When I look back and see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taking the weapon that I should have got, I see the Lord Jesus going up Golgotha Hill, bleeding from his side, bleeding from his back. I see him being beaten to the very flesh. It beat off his bone. I say, God, help me today. And then when I see them putting him up on the cross, he had done no wrong, but they put him up on the cross, and he hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour. When he played that picture for me, I say, God, help me. And then when he showed me where they took him down from that cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb, I say, Lord, help me. But then when I realized he laid there all Friday night, laid there all Saturday night, laid there Sunday morning, but Sunday morning when he got up with all power in his hand, I say, God, help me. So the question is, why do we serve? We serve because he's done more for us than we could ever do for ourselves. We serve because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, in hell we would have lifted up our eyes. We serve him because when we were too mean to live, wasn't fit to die, he died for us. We serve him because he didn't wait until we got cleaned up, but he took us nasty, filthy, rotten, stinking. He took us and he washed us with his blood. He cleansed us with his blood. He raised us up with his power. We serve him today because the Lord is the reason we get up every morning. The Lord is the reason we have the activities of our limbs. The Lord is the reason we are clothed in our right mind. And since we cannot feed him, we feed his children. Since we can't take him nowhere, we take his children. St. John, I don't know about you, but I serve him because that's all I can do. That's all. I can't care for God, but I can care for you. That's why I can go when I'm tired. I can get up when I want to sleep. I can smile when I'm hurting because God smiled for me. I can take the pain for you because he took the pain for me. Why do we serve? I don't serve him for no car. I don't serve him for no house. I don't serve him for a job. But I serve him for Jesus, because it's Jesus who lives and moves and has my being. It is Jesus who got my back when I'm between a rock and a hard place. It's Jesus who opened doors for me. It's Jesus who paved the road for me. I don't know why you serve, but I serve him because he is all I got. He's all I got. And if he's ever done anything for you, you don't need a church full, because you recognize when you got here, Jesus was already here. And that's enough to say hallelujah. You recognize your way driving down here, somebody had an accident, but you got down here all right. That's enough to say praise the Lord. When you got down here, you could have been on your way to Alton Memorial, St. Anthony's, or St. Clair. But the Lord said, get on in my church. And when you walked in the door, you saw another smiling face. That's a reason to say, hallelujah. So the question is, if you know he's moved a mountain for you, it shouldn't be hard to say thank you, Jesus. If you know He's opened the door for you. It shouldn't be hard to say, praise the Lord. If you know he's brought you through seen and unseen dangers, it shouldn't be too hard for you to lift up both hands and say, glory. St. John, I don't know why you serve him, but I serve him because he's done more for me than anybody else. I don't know why you serve him, but I serve him because when I was thought to be nothing, he made me somebody. I don't know why you serve him, but I give him all I got because if it had not been for Jesus, I would cease to exist. Go back to the nothingness from whence I've come. And I understand Isaiah. In the middle of worship, I don't just want to come and take a seat and sit down. But when I come through those doors, I think about where I could have been. I think about where he brought me from. I think about all that he brought me through. He brought me through seen and unseen danger. What would it be like today if we had to wear all of our sin on our face? What would we look like today if every time our heart was broken, we had to walk with a limp? We had to walk broken down. But I thank God today. He is the one that moves out all of my pain, all of my sorrow. I thank God today that every time he cleaned me up, he washed the dirt off my face. When I came in, you didn't know I had been broken. You didn't know I had fell down. I thank God today that just like Isaiah, when we were filthy and in our sins, the Lord let a seraphim drop some coal in our mouth. And where we used to cuss, we can praise. Where we used to lie, we can tell the truth. Where we used to steal, we can give. Where we used to criticize, we can compliment. Where we used to turn our head, we can look and see, can I help you? It's all there. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I sing now. And I serve now. Because of what he's done. Because of what he's doing. And because of what he's going to do. And St. John, I want to ask you this question. Why do you serve him? Why do you praise him? Why do you trust him? Why do you give him your time week after week? Is it because you too have been caught up in worship? Is it because you too recognize you didn't save yourself, but Jesus saved you? Do you realize that he opened doors for you? Do you realize he parted the Red Sea for you? Do you realize he opened the lion's den for you? Do you realize that he stopped the earthquake for you? Do you realize that he is the one that told death, keep away from my child? Do you realize that if he didn't touch you this morning, you never would have got up? Do you realize today? Do you realize that all we are is simply because of all of him? And if you realize that, then you know why you serve and why you pray. The doors of the church is open. You may come now by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism. Won't you please come today?